I don't see the yeah, start a recording. Okay, good morning, everybody. The weekly share from Masechet Chagiga is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA, who always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good reason for Chagiga, and Refuah Shleima for Binyamin Simcha Ben Adina Minya.
Okay, everybody, we are today's daf, the last daf of Chagiga, Chav Zayin. We're about 50 lines up from the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Beis, in the middle of a discussion the Gemara had regarding what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that during or after the times when the Beis HaMikdash was mobbed by people, they had to tovel all kinds of things, but they didn't want to tovel in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want to tovel the Shulchan. So they would always remind everybody to be careful not to touch the Shulchan, because if somebody tummy like an Am Haaretz touches the Shulchan, that's going to necessitate toveling the Shulchan. And the problem with that, we said, was that then they would have to take all the Lechem Panim off of it, and then that wouldn't be able to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid. And so in order to prevent that, we just make sure nobody tummy touches the Shulchan. Mara had the question about why would we think the Shulchan is Mekabel Tumah, is susceptible to Tumah. The Gemara said, after all, isn't it a Kli Eitz Ha'asoi Le'Nachas? It shouldn't be susceptible to Tumah. The Gemara said, Reish Lakish, the Amora, Reish Lakish gives the explanation because they would have to occasionally take the Shulchan around, and therefore it was portable even while it had food on it, and so it's susceptible to Tuma. A Kli Eitz that's stationary is not Makabel Tuma, but Kli Eitz that's portable is, and the Shulchan was carried around sometimes in order to show to the people. So now the Gemara here, about 50 lines up from the bottom, asks, well, anyway, it would be Makabel Tuma because it wasn't just wood. The Gemara asks on the line that begins, the first word of the line is Hilakcho, and the second word is Vitepukle. Vitepukle, the Gemara asks, Mishim Tzipui. Anyway, the Shulchan is Mekabel Tumah because they coat the Shulchan is wood, but it's plated in gold. And so if it's a gold-plated wooden kli, that is going to be Mekabel Tumah, dehasanan, like it says in the Mishnah in Kelim, HaShulchan v'adul paki she'nifchaso ha'shefifon v'shayesh v'shir b'hamekom hanachas kosos tameh. So the point of this Mishnah is the following. The Mishnah is based on the premise that if you have a kli made of wood, that ordinarily would be Makabel Tumah, but they encased it in a stone encasement, and the stone is not Makabel Tumah. That stone, like a marble encasement, is going to keep it from being Makabel Tumah. The question is, what if it's only a partial encasing? What if it's only partially covered in the marble? And the machlokas here in this Mishnah in Kalim is about how much of the original wood a table has to remain visible or functional in order for it to still be Makabel Tumah. So that's my focus here. But the premise is very clear that if it were fully encased in marble, it would be tahor, not susceptible to Tumah, because it'll be treated like it's a marble table rather than a, which is a Kli Eitz, rather than a wooden table. That's what the Mishnah says. A Shulchan v'adul paki, these two kelim, like a Shulchan, shenifasu ashachipan b'shayish, which either it broke, or the relevant thing to us is that it was covered in or encased in marble. The shir b'hamakom anachas kosos, if it's not fully encased, but there was enough of a little spot there to put your cup on the wooden part of the table, then it'll still be tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it has to be bigger than that. Makom anachas achasichos, like the plate has to be, you have to be able to put a plate there. But in any case, the point is, but if it's fully encased, like the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash was, then it should be treated not like the core of the wooden core of the Shulchan, but like the plating, the gold plating of the Shulchan. Now, in the Mishnah in Kalim, the relevance of the encasement was to make it tahor, because it was encased in marble. But over here, Rashi writes, Rashi's explanation in all of this is what we're going to be following. Rashi's explanation is that if it's encased in metal, then it has the status of a metal kli. A metal kli makes it more susceptible to tuma, and therefore, even if the wooden core of the shulchan, as a wooden kli, would not be susceptible because it stays in one spot, it's stationary. But the minute you encase it in a gold and plating, it's going to turn it into a metal kli with metal rules, and that's going to be makabel tuma even if it is stationary. So that's what the Gemara is asking. So anyway, the shulchan is makabel tuma because it's encased in gold. The Gemara asks, well, the Gemara says, well, okay, that might be relevant, but it might not be. V'chitema shani atzei shitim dechashiva v'lo b'teili. Well, the Gemara says maybe this Mishnah that says that you always treat the kli like it's like whatever it's plated in or encased in, maybe that's only true if the core, the wooden core of the kli, is an ordinary low-grade wood core. But if it's special atzei shitim, like it wasn't, like the shulchan was, then maybe you don't say that you should treat it like it's plating, but you should treat it like whatever the ikar of the kli is, namely wood. In other words, the point is maybe that Mishnah is not relevant to the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash because it started out as being a special high-grade eitz shitim. And the Gemara says, well, maybe that makes a difference. When it says, Anicha l'rei shlokish, the yomer lo shanu ela b'kli aksel gris. Haboy memedinas hayam avo b'klei misamim lo b'tei li shapir. Now, the Gemara here introduces us to a machlokas amarayim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rei Shlokish, and Rabbi Yochanan, about whether that's true, whether the Mishnah that says that a kli eitz covered in some kind of an encasement is treated like this, like the encasement, is that only if the core itself is nondescript or is just ordinary and nothing special. But if the core itself is a special quality and it's not obvious that the coating should determine the character of the kli, then you don't say that you treat it like it's encasement. And you would have to treat it like it is makabel tuma. If, let's say, the marble encasement was an inferior grade and the wood was a high grade, so then maybe you should treat the kli like it's wood. The Gemara says that's machlokes Reish Lakish for Rabbi Yochanan. And it says Reish Lakish actually does make that distinction. So really, Reish Lakish would say that Mishnah doesn't apply because the atzei shitim of the shulchan, the eighth shitim core of the shulchan, is enough to make it treated like it's a wooden kli, and as a wooden kli, it's subject to the rules of wood, which means that if it's stationary, it's not makabel tuma, unless, and that's why Reish Lakish personally did have to say that because the shulchan is carried around at the time of the regel, and it's paraded around for the people to see the lechem apadim still being fresh, that's why Reish Lakish had to say that's the only reason why the shulchan is mekabel tuma. If you are not Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and you see that it doesn't matter, that's what the Gemara here says. Ela l'Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar afilu b'klei mesamim nami b'teili mayikul meimer. If you're like Rabbi Yochanan, it says that it doesn't matter what the core wooden kli is. Once you encase it in some other kind of a substance, so then you redefine the kli as being whatever it's encased in. So if that's true, no matter what the core is, so then it has to be treated like a shulchan is made of gold, and as a metal kli, it doesn't matter if you carry the kli around or if it's stationary. Now, really, it's unclear what the logic of the Gemara is at this point, because Reish Lakish was the one who explained the reasoning of carrying the shulchan around as being the reason why it's mekabel tuma, and therefore Reish Lakish is internally consistent. The question now is only if you don't happen to hold that of Reish Lakish, namely that the only reason it's mekabel tuma is because they carried it around, so then in that case, everything does make sense. Everything is all good, really. The Gemara isn't really that pleased yet for some reason. It thinks that there's a problem. It says, well, still, others probably also think that carrying the kli around is what matters, and so why would they insist on that? If after all, it's anyway mekabel tuma because of its being a metal kli. Gemara says, well, okay, maybe there's another consideration why it's different from that Mishnah in Caleb. Maybe it depends whether the plating, because if you think about it, you can't plate a wooden kli with marble. All you can do with the marble is just kind of lay the marble as a kind of a sheet over the metal, and maybe you fasten it onto the table, or maybe not, or maybe you have its own structural integrity, but the gold coating on the table of the shulchan is not necessarily the same as this. So maybe that doesn't apply. Maybe the rule of a marble encasement is only if the encasement is strong, rigid, as it has its own structural integrity, maybe that's not true about a plating, a gold plating on a wooden kli. The Gemara says, well, maybe that matters. Maybe that's why you would still need to treat the kli like it's a wooden kli. Gemara says, no, that can't be so because of a ruling of Rabbi Yochanan. Rishlagish asked Rabbi Yochanan whether these other kinds of considerations matter as far as applying that Mishnah. And he was told, Amrlei loshna betzipoy omeid, loshna betzipoy she'ena omeid. It doesn't matter what kind of a coating we're talking about, whether it has its own structural integrity to stand by itself or not. It doesn't matter whether it does or doesn't coat the little rim that sticks out from the wooden kli. That part isn't relevant to us. So now we're back to the question of, so wait a second. So then really what we're saying is that Mishnah and Kalim does apply. If that's true, then this is treated as a metal kli. If it's a metal kli, it doesn't matter if you carry it around or if you leave it stationary. It's makabel tuma already. So why did you have to treat the shulchan as being susceptible to tuma because it's being paraded around? Gemara says, well, that's because Ella, we get to the maskanas of Gemara here, Shani Shulchan, the Rahmana Karye Eitz. Shulchan is different because the Rahmana is Aramaic word for Harachaman, which is Hashem, which means the Torah, Karye Eitz, calls the Shulchan an Eitz. In other words, it's an Eitz by fiat, it's an Eitz by declaration. That even though reality is that it's made of eitz, but it's covered in gold, and the halacha ought to have treated the shulchan as if it's a gold kli, but since the Torah declares it as an eitz, that's why it has the rules of a kli eitz. Where does the Torah call the shulchan an eitz? Well, we know the shulchan, the Chumash calls the shulchan made of eitz, but covered in gold, but that's not it. The referent is the pasuk in Yechezkel, describing the Bayis HaShlishi. It says on Mizbeach, eight, Shalosh Amos Gavua, V'yarko, Shteme Amos, Mikzah Osav, Lo, V'yarko, Bikir Osav, eight. So I daver in Leizeh, Shulchan Hashem, L'fnei Hashem. So the Pasuk in Yechezkel describes a kli that's made of eight. Of course, it's talking about the Mizbeach, not the Shulchan, but after describing the Mizbeach and describing Mizbeach as being an eight, even after it's already fully made, it gives its dimensions. And then it says, "Vaydaber elai zeha shulchan asher lefnei Hashem." And the vision that he got was that this is the shulchan asher lefnei Hashem, even though it's really the image of the mizbeach. So this is where pasach b'mizbeach v'siyim b'shulchan. Something is internally wrong with that pasuk, which is it's describing the mizbeach, and then it labels this as the shulchan. So right away, we already have the answer, incidentally, to the question from before, which is, the Shulchan is being declared by the Pasuk in Yechezkel as being made of eitz, and its status of eitz. And that's what's the explanation for what's happening in our Gemara all along, which is why the Shulchan is susceptible to Tuma, because it's an eitz that carried around, and therefore you have to tell everybody to be careful not to touch it. You don't want to have to unload the Shulchan in order to tovel it. But now, once we brought up this Pasuk in Yechezkel that describes the Mizbeach, which is really the Shulchan, Pashup Shad in the Psukim is obvious. It's saying that the Mizbeach is the Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem, which is the Mizbeach, so to speak, it's like the God's table. So that we kind of understand. But now, the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish have an Agada, they have a kind of a message or a lesson in the opposite direction. The Amri Tarvayu Bisman Shabis Migdash Kayam is Beyach Mechaper al Adam Akhir Shilchana Shal Adam Mechaper alav. It's saying a slightly different concept, which is not so much that in the Beis HaMikdash the Mizbeach served as God's Shulchan, but the other way around is that in our homes, our Shulchan is like it's the Mizbeach. Which means what? Which means that Bisman HaMikdash, you'd be able to bring korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and the korbanos have the effect of being mechaper. You don't have the opportunity, but you do have a miniature version of it, meaning your own shulchan. In what way is your own shulchan able to serve as the mizbeach? And Rishonim right over here, the same pshat, more in other places, by using your shulchan for mitzvos, in particular, the very specific mitzvah of hachnasas orchim. Hachnasas orchim, being the opportunity to get a kapara. Okay, two dots. It says, back to the last comment of the Mishnah, which is, kol hakelim shebemikdash yishlam shniim. The Mizbeach, the second to last, the Mizbeach always, all of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash had replacements. And then it goes on to say, well, on the other hand, there are a couple of kelim that were not, that didn't need to be toveled. In particular, the Mizbeach Hazav and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The Mizbachos, the Mizbeach Hazav, Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes was a Mizbeach that was retired very early on. They didn't have a Mizbeach HaNechoshes in Beis HaMikdash, only in the Mishkan. But Mizbeach Hazav they had, and we're talking theoretically that the Mizbeach HaNechoshes and Mizbeach Hazav did not need to be Tovel, therefore it was not susceptible to Tuma. So the explanation the Mishnah itself gave, you look back on Chavav and Beis on the top, it says, Rabbi Eliezer says, because Mipnehen Shehen Ke Karka, because they have the status of Karka, Karka is not Mekabel Tuma, only Automic Kalim, Ochem and Mashkim. Kalim are Mekabel Tuma, but not Karka. So Rabbi Eliezer says that's the reason why the Mizbafos did not need to be Tovel, they're not susceptible to Tuma, because they have a status of Karka. Mizbeach HaNechoshes, now back to our Gemara. Where does it have a status of Karka? Mizbeach HaNechoshes, Defsid Mizbeach Adama Ta'aseli. The Pasuk in Shmos describes that Mizbeach Adama Ta'aseli, you make a Mizbeach Adama. Now it becomes filled with Adama, you understand, but the point is that it has a status of a Kli Adama, which is Karka, which is not Mekabel Tuma. And that's the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Mizbeach HaZav, Dechsev, HaMenorah VeHamizbechos. Pasuk says, just in terms of grouping the kelim together, getting them ready to be moved, it says that the Mizbechos, as in they're treated the same way. And Iskosh Mizbechos Zelizeh. The Mizbechos are treated in the same way, and just like one, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes has status of Adama, so too Mizbeach HaZav has the same way. It's immune to Tuma, and it's not susceptible to Tuma, to be Mekabel Tuma. So this is also based on Psukim that label the status of the Mizbachos as being Adama, notwithstanding what they were made of. Of course, in the Beis HaMikdash time, the actual outer Mizbeach was made of Avanim anyway, so, and it was actually built in. It wasn't able to be moved. So that was not Mekabel Tuma anyway. But the Mizbeach HaKetores, that's the Chiddush here. That was all Rabbi Eliezer's explanation. Now, if you look at the end of the Mishnah, it says, V'chachamim amrim mipnei shehin mitzupin. Chachamim say, well, wait a minute. They were coated, they were plated. Nechoshes was plated with Nechoshes. Mizbeach HaZav was plated with Zav. So now our Gemara says, V'chamim amrim mipnei shehin mitzupin. How does that follow? What does that mean? What are they saying? Normally, the convention is that Chachamim are arguing, and they're saying wrong, mipnei shehein mitzupin, as if it sounds a lot like they're just giving another reason why the Mizbachos are not susceptible to Tuma. So now the Gemara asks, hold on a minute. Being plated is not a reason why it's shielded from Tuma, why it's immune to Tuma, it's Adaraba. The Gemara asks, given the mitzupaninu, mitamu. The problem is that a coating, and we just learned from the whole previous Amud, the coating is going to render the kli have the status of the coating itself, which is metal. Adaraba, given the mitzupaninu, mitamu. That ought to be a reason why the kli should be Mekabel Tuma. So how can the Chachamim say that's the reason why it's not Mekabel Tuma? Now, incidentally, you should just know that in all this whole sugya, you look up the Rambam on all of this, the Rambam, oddly enough, has a sheet that everybody is bothered by here, which is the Rambam holds that any wooden kli that's plated in any substance, even if it's metal, is not Mekabel Tuma at all. And so he has to reread everything that's going on in the previous Amud. He has to reread what's going on at the top. He has to reread this Gemara over here. But in any case, the the way Rashi is reading it over here, it's he's asking like this: Adama is a ptur based on the fact that it's not a kli at all. Now the problem is that if you're saying that the kli is mitzupa, therefore it should have a status of a kli mateches, then it's automatically now yes mekabel tuma. It's a kli mateches, so it is a kli and it is mateches. And so so at first the Gemara answers, well, all right, I guess ema v'chachamim mitamin mipnei shein mitzupin, that the chachamim are not arguing with Rabbi Eliezer about the reason why the mizbachos are not mekabel tuma. On the contrary, they're saying that the mizbachos are mekabli tuma. That the mizbeach is mekabel tuma after all because of the tzipui. That's the first interpretation here. And the Gemara says ve'iboy se'ema, or alternatively, if that's not really what the Mishnah means, maybe it means a different thing altogether, which is they do agree with Rabbi Eliezer that the mizbachas are not mekabli tuma. Ve'iboy se'ema rabbanan l'Rabbi Eliezer ko'amri. They are responding to Rabbi Eliezer's statement, namely, Maidaitach, what are you thinking, Rabbi Eliezer? Mishum de mitzupin? You think that the reason that you need to come up with an explanation for Adama, as if that's the reason why the Mizbachos are shielded from Tumas because they have a status of Adama, which is Karka, and why would you have to resort to that? Why isn't it enough to say what we said before, namely, that the Tzipui of the Shulchan doesn't count because it's called a Kli Eitz. So the same thing over here. My daitach mishum de mitzupin. Why do you think you need to use the explanation of Adama? After all, are you considering these kalim to be mitzupin and therefore gold, and that's why you need an overriding consideration of Adama? The Chachamim say, no, that's not what how you treat the Klei HaMikdash. The Mivtal Betiel Tzipuyan Gabayu. Rashi learns that this is just referring to the same thing that we said before about the Shulchan, namely, that since the Chumash describes all the Kalim as being eights, that's why all of the stationary Kalim of the Mikdash are immune to Tuma, and not Mekabli Tuma. Let's quickly finish up. Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Talmidei Chachamim Ein Or Shel Gehenim Shaletes Bohem Kal V'Chomer Mei Salamandra. Abavo, the Amora Koser, Belazar, the Amora, Talmide Chachamim, people who are Torah scholars, Talmide Chachamim, Ein Or Shel Gehenim Shalet Esbohem. Presumably referring to even Talmide Chachamim who sin. They are not subject to the fires of Gehenim, Kalvachamre Salamandra, as a Kalvachamre from the creature known as a salamander. Ma Salamandra Shed told us a Ishi. What do you know about a salamander? Salamander is it's a product of fire. Hasach mi dama ein or shall let this boat. All you have to do is take some of its fluid and smear it on you, and that'll be a fire retardant, and it'll protect you from the flames. And therefore, since that's known, Talmidei Chachamim shekol gufan eish, Talmidei Chachamim who learned a lot of Torah, and they're full of fire. They themselves are fire products. Halachas kama v'kama, that they are shielded from the effects of the fires, presumably the fires of Gehenim. But incidentally, you should just look. Rabbi Slifkin has in his book a whole a chapter on the salamander and what was known and what is known. And it's interesting that we actually, this might actually really be a true description of one of the abilities of the salamander. In any case, Amar Reish Lakish, another Agadita to finish off with, just so you realize the previous Agadita has to be interpreted in a way that it's not troubling in the way we consider Torah scholars who are sinners to not get a special protection because of their Torah, but on the contrary, to be held to a higher standard because of their Torah. And so the whole gist of the earlier Agadita here presumably is just encouraging people to learn because it's always going to be worth it because it'll protect you, presumably not so much from the effects of Gehenim if you're a sinner, but it'll protect you from becoming a sinner in the first place, presumably. Amar Reish Lakish, the final Agadita. Ein or shel Gehenim shaletes b'poshe Yisrael. This Agadita is a little harder in the sense that it's saying that people who are bona fide sinners, Moshe Yisrael, are shielded from the flames of Gehenna. Kal v'chomer mi mizbeach hazav. We can learn that from the mizbeach hazav. Ma mizbeach hazav, she'ein elav elaki ovei diner zav. The mizbeach hazav, which is what had ketores, and the fire was always burning on the top of the mizbeach hazav, and it was made of wood, but it had a thin coating, a little plating of gold on it. Hamashanim ein or shalet this bow, even for a number of years, for centuries. And it didn't damage the, question is, it didn't damage the gold or it didn't damage the wood, either way. So kal v'chomer posha Yisrael, Poshi Yisrael, of course, should be entitled to the same kind of shielding. Shem Malaleyan mitzvahs kirimon, v'chsiv, kefelach harimon rakasei, chaltikar rakasei, elarekanim shabach. Like it says in the Agadata, based on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that even you people, kefelach harimon rakasei, even your rekanim are like a rimon. Like you have many mitzvos, and therefore, because we have so many mitzvos, presumably, the logic over here is not exactly that tight. It needs a couple of additional statements to fill it in, but it means it presumably provides shielding or protection from the effects of their chet. Alachas kama v'kama, they ought to be protected as a result. Okay, I guess hand the video over now to maybe the rabbi.
How are you? Can you hear me, Rabbi Palmer?
Yes, we're good.
Wonderful. Yashikayach, and thank you so much. I want to, first of all, thank all the Magidei Shir who have taken us through all these topics, in particular, everyone from my role in the last number of weeks, because of just so much responsibility, what's going on with this larger situation. Can you not hear me?
Now I can.
Okay, beautiful. So I just want to thank Kevin Perlich, who stepped in for me personally. I want to thank Rabbi Weissman and Rabbi Palmer, Rabbi Rothberger, and of course, Erez, for all of their work and all of their efforts. So we want to thank Bagel Munch, even though it's been a little while since their contribution to the experience, but still we remember well. We still carry a zecher to their contribution. I'm sure most of us have not gotten rid of that. So that's definitely part of this. I just want to share, based on the final Gemara that Rabbi Palmer so beautifully explained, not the one where we go to Gehenim, the one before that, I want to share that the Gemara does tell us about this amazing experience that Klal Yisrael would have when everyone would arrive in the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel, and they would reveal the Lechem upon him, and everyone would see the Lechem upon him, and it was very inspirational. And one of the questions that is posed, it is quoted in the Sefer Imrei Baruch, it is posed by Rav Tzadok HaKohen, is why, of all the miracles that took place in the Mikdash, this is the one that they chose to publicize to all of Klal Yisrael when they came for the experience of the Chagigah. And he explains that the reason that this was the miracle is because this miracle was connected specifically to the notion of the 12 Shvatim. Because we know there were 12 different Lechem Aponim, and the warmth, the Chamimus of the Lechem Aponim, as manifest through these 12 different loaves, corresponds to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's sense of warmth, a Kadosh Baruch Hu's sense of connection, to the diversity of Am Yisrael, to the fact that there are different Shvatim, there are different perspectives, there are different types of people. And that was, as we brought all of Klal Yisrael together, the one message that needed to be projected to Am Yisrael was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a supernatural way, wanted to reveal this great pride he had in Klal Yisrael, that there are so many different types of Jews, there are so many different types of approaches. And the truth is, taking us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, there's a beautiful insight that is quoted. The Pasuk tells us, Tochin l'cha aderech v'shilashtas gvul arzecha asher yanchilcha Hashem alokecha v'hayo lanus shama olor rotzeach. Now when Klal Yisrael would come in to Eretz Yisrael, signs were posted all over Eretz Yisrael, telling you, this is how you get to an Arei Miklat, this is how you get to a city of refuge, if you happen to have found yourself engaged in a killing by accident. So the question that's brought up by the Shemen HaTov is, why don't we find any similar type of mitzvah with regards to signage leading us to Yerushalayim for the purpose of Aliyah L'Regel, the mitzvah to every single regel, all of Klal Yisrael to converge together? We don't find such a mitzvah. There's only signage for people who are running away. There's no signage for people who are running towards something more amazing, something more holy, something more tremendous. Answers the Shemen HaTov. It's very simple. And that is that there isn't one way to get to Yerushalayim. There isn't one derech. There isn't one singular set of directions. Every family has their own route. Every shevet has their own approach. Every individual, some like the back road, some like the direct road, some like the scenic route, some like getting lost, some like finding a straight path. Everybody has their own direction. Everybody has their own way to the world of Aliyah L'Regel. That's what the Mikdash represents. The Mikdash represents our singular set of values, but a recognition that three times a year, all of Klal Yisrael gathers together from so many different places so that they could be connected through something that is much greater than themselves. And I think that's so much of what our Shir provides for us, and that is that even though we're all in different places, we're all in different spaces, we're all in different boxes at the moment, we all converge together with this beautiful opportunity to connect through Torah, and specifically over the last number of months, this beautiful opportunity to connect through the Torah of Meseches Chagiga, which is what celebrates our connection to each other as our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is something that is so fundamental for us to keep in mind today. And as each of us, you know, I look around this Zoom and I think about our lives as they existed when we started Meseches Chagiga and our lives that they exist now and how different they are. And for some of us, that has meant loss. And for some of us, that has just meant a tremendous amount of stress. For some of us, that has meant a tremendous amount of financial loss. For some of us, just the challenge of making it through. Life is very different, and we each process it in different ways, and we each relate to it in different ways. But as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Kavata itim l'Torah. It's not about the amount of blot we learn. It's about the fact that we consecrate a specific time, a specific limud, a specific opportunity for us to come together and to be able to learn together. And to that, I believe that this really is a chagiga. This really is such a beautiful celebration. This siyum that we are making, this transition that we are going to make from Seder Moed, Emir Hashem, to Seder Nashim, to Meseches Yevamos. And it's a real, very special opportunity. Everyone should feel a tremendous sense of accomplishment, a tremendous sense of connection to each other, to our limud, and to everything that we are trying to bring in to our lives in terms of growth and in terms of our commitment. So Yasher Koach, again, I see that Shimi Globman has joined us, and we thank him for bringing this entire idea to our shul and to the schus of providing all of the resources for the Daf of Shavua. And if we didn't need them before, we're certainly going to need them going forward. So we greatly appreciate in anticipation of all of the chizuk and all of the support as we make our way through the next Masechta. And we thank him for all of his contribution. And I turn it back over to Erez for our Siyum MC.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Glasser. And thank you, Shimi Globin. It's nice seeing you. Okay, David Adler is going to lead the Siyum. I just want to point out one thing. I printed out the nusach of the Hadran. I may have made a mistake. The second line, it says Masechet Moed Katan. So please, whoever's making the siman reading it, make sure to say Chagiga, not Moed Katan. In any case, without further ado, I'm giving the mic over to David Adler to say a few words and then make the siman.
Thank you very much, Erez, and thank you for the Magdei Shir that have given the Shir and for Erez to give me the opportunity. I asked Erez if I could say the Hadron for a number of reasons. One reason would be that this is the first Masechta that I finished with the Daf HaShavua. I started the other times, I never completed it. So this is a big accomplishment for myself. The other reason is that my father's yard site is next month, and I figured this would be a good opportunity just to do the 100 in the memory of him. He was a good man. He did Daf Yomi. He finished it a few times, and in his memory here. I also want to give a special thank you to Rabbi Rothberger. Rabbi Rothberger, 6 months ago, issued a call asking if anyone wanted to learn with him. I answered the call, and for the past 6 months, from Sunday night through Thursday night, for around 45 minutes to an hour, we have been chazering over the daf. I have to tell you, Rabbi Rothberger is an amazing chavrusa. It has been an amazing experience. And if you think about it, anyone that could put up with, you know, me speaking like 45, listening, you know, and speaking 45 minutes to an hour every single night definitely deserves a lot of kudos. I would encourage everyone, if they, you know, to find your own chavrusah. And once you find your own chavrusah, don't let them go. One other quick thought, you know, this week's parsha is Parshas Bamidbar, which is the start of a long journey. And I think it's very apropos that we're going to be beginning Yevamos. You know, it's not going to take 40 years, but, you know, let us go on our own trek together. You know, we will do Yevamos. It will be one line at a time. It will be one daf at a time, but we will get through it. And after we get through it, could you imagine the accomplishments that we would feel, that we are going to now be tackling this mountain, one of the three hardest, you know, Gemaras in Shas, but together, and, you know, and we will do this, and it's going to be amazing. You know, we can do it, and we will do it. You know, we've been through a lot, and now we have Yevamos, and we are just going to, you know, just keep plugging along. Thank you. And Eris, do I say the last line, or do you start with
I guess you say the last line, and then you say Hadvan Alach, and then we can all, I guess, stand up and say the Nusach.
Okay, that's fine. The Amr of Lakish, Ain Od Al Gehenem Shachos Poshe Yisrael, the Fraz Gehenem don't rule over the sinners of Israel, Kavachim Yisrael Zahav, through Kavachim the you know, the golden altar, Mam is Vecha Zahav, She'ain Olav Ella Ke Oive Dina Zahav, that there was only a little bit of a Dina thickness of the gold that still Kamashanim Ain or Shaltas, for the fire did not roll over it. Then Posha Yisrael, then the case of the sinners of Israel, Shemelian Mitzvah Kiroman, who are full of mitzvahs as a pomegranate, as it said, as a pasuk in Shashim, Tiksiv Kifoles Harimon Rei Kosech. Just on a side note, this pasuk is mentioned only one other time in Brachas, and it's referring to the concept of sowing dreams of pomegranates. So it's saying if it's an ordinary individual, so he says he's full of mitzvah. So we see there's a connection between the two Gemaras there. So then the Gemara finishes up, Al tikrei rokosech, don't read your temples, eler rekonech shebach, but the empty ones among you, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so? Hadron olach, Chomer B'Kodesh, Misako Lach Miseches Chagiga. Hadron Lach Miseches Chagiga, Hadron Lach. Daiton Lach Miseches Chagiga, Daiton Lach. Lo Nishne Minach Miseches Chagiga, Velo Tinishne Minach Velo Ba'ama. Hadron Velo Ba'ama Da'asi. Yihi Ratzan Nofenecho, Adonai Lehinu Velarasinu, Chetehe Sorsecho, Umunosenu, Baolam Haze, Usehe, Umanuliam Haba, Hanina Bar Papa, Rami Bar Papa, Nachman Bar Papa, Acha Bar Papa, Abba Murray Bar Papa, Rufus Bar Papa, Rechish Bar Papa, Sucha Bar Papa, Ada Bar Papa, Dura Bar Papa, Harav No, Adinoi, Eloheinu, Es Devray, Sorsecha, Befino, Uve Fifos, Amho Beso, Vinheya, Anachnu, Vitatoenu, Ritzeta A, Amcho Basisro, Colonna, Yode, Shemecho, Belomde, Sorsecho, Me Ovai, Tehachme, Mitzvosecho, Ki Lealam, He Li, Yi Libi, Samim, Rukhecha, Lamaan Lo, Evosh, Lealam Lo, Eshkosh, Eshkach, Pikudecho, Ki Bo, Hi Sunny, Burk, Ato, Adonai, Lamdenu, Hukecho, Amen, Amen, Amin Salo Ved. Modim Anachnu Lefanacho Adinoi Elain Valerasenu, Jesamta Hokenu, Moshe Besha Medrash, Velosamanu Hokenu Miyoshe Kiranos, She Anu Mashkim Vehin Mashkim, Anu Mashkim Lidivri Tor, Vehin Mashkim Lidivri Taleb, Anu Amelim Vehin Amelim, Anu Amelim Mikabalim Schar, Vehim Amelim, Veinu Mikabalim Schar, Anu Rutsim Hain Rutsim, Anu Rutsim Lachaim Holam Haba, Vehim Rutsim Lavar Shacha Shneema, Batar Elohim Toridem Lavar Shachas Anshe Domim Umirma Lo Yechotso Yimehem Vani Eftach Bach. Yehi Ratsan Melfanecho Adonai Lahen Kishem Shechaz Tani Lisai Mesechas Chagiga Ben Tazrenu Lishas Chil Mesechas Nusfar U Sefarim Acherim U Lisayim Ulamod Ulimod Lame Lishimor Vilasos Lekaim Es Kol Divrei Samol Tor Secho Bahavar Uzachos Kol Hatanoyim Vamarayim Vesamnei Chachamim Yamod Li Ulazi Shalo Samush Hator Mipi U Mipi Zari Vizera Zari Adolam Viskayem bi ubis ha lecha tanche osch bishivchacho tishmo olecha vehaki so hi tishi hecho ki vi yabi yomecho viosifa lecho shenos chayim arech yemim bimenu Bismillah, also Chavod Adonai Ozli Amor Yitain Adonai Yivrech Es Amor Vashalom.
Great job, David.
Thank you, Rabbi.
David, the Shamash Avon Aliyah.
Amen.
Amen. All right, now we have a good
mitzvah. Okay, people, I guess next week we're meeting again for Masechet Yevamos. We'll figure out who's giving.